A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 Fit Talmud. Baba Metzia Mem Dalet, Baba Metzia 44a, pagination is 87. We'll start on the facing page, Masnisin, about 8 lines up. Hachoshev, one who thinks, would be literal translation. Lishloach Yod Bepikadon, to send his hand to steal the item entrusted to him. So he's a shomer, a guardian, and he thinks that he's going to steal the item. Beishamai omrim, beishamai say chayiv, he's already chayiv just from thinking. We'll revise that in a moment. Uveselel omrim, and beiselel say inu chayiv ad sheyishaleach bo yad, he's not going to be obligated until he actually sends his hand in it. He does a kinyan. Shenemar im lo shalach yodo b'mlechas re'ehu, that he didn't send his hand into the item of his friend, then he's absolved, inferring that if he did send his hand in the item of his friend, that's the case that he's obligated. Now, what kind of obligation are we talking about? The answer is, any situation would now be obligated, because what the guy has done is he has stolen the item, and now he's responsible no matter what happens. He becomes the owner, and he owes back value. Now, the Gemara on the top of today's Daf, Mem Dalet, tells us that the source for Beis Shammai, and this doesn't matter if we paskin like Beis Shammai or not, but the source for Beis Shammai, that Hachoshev, one who thinks to take this entrusted item, is already in violation, is a pasuk I'll call Divar Pesha. On any Divar could mean thing, but in such a context, it means word. On any word that's offensive, meaning he says he's going to take it. It teaches us that you're obligated on thought, just like on action. Now, there's a little bit of a disconnect here, because it says on any word of Pesha, and then it says on thought. Words and thoughts are not really the same thing. A person can think something and never articulate it. Is he already liable? Let's go back to the facing page where we began in the Mishnah and take a look at the bottom Taisvis. Taisvis says, Hach machshava have dibur. When we say thought over here in this Mishnah, choshev, thinking, we really mean speaking. And he has to actually say it in order to be in violation. V'chein machsheves pigul nami, and the same thing is when we talk about a person, a kohen, who thinks that he's going to have this animal of a korban eaten in the wrong time. That's not just that he thought it, that's that he said it. Even though the word is machshava, thought, it really means dibur, speech. Now, this concept is not so foreign to us, not so novel, because we've already discussed the concept that verbal averos, sins that are done by speech, are considered lavin she'ein bohem maisa. They're considered violations that are not actions. Person says false testimony, in and of itself, it's called a lav she'ein bo maisa. There's a special pasuk to teach us that such a person can get malchus. A person who speaks lashon hara, motzi shem ra, these are lav she'ein bo maisa category, and there's no malchus lashes as a result of that action. It's a different category. It's not considered a true action. And perhaps that's why the word dibur here, speech, is being referred to with a substitute word, choshev, thinking, because dibur is not much more than a disclosed machshava. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Gilyan Ashas sends us to the Rosh in the beginning in Hilchas Sefer Torah, which is printed after Maseches Menachos, and the Rosh over there discusses the possibility that thought and speech are different categories in the application of articulating that you're going to be writing a Sefer Torah for the purpose of the mitzvah. Is it enough to think that, or do you have to actually say it? We also have some overlap regarding the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. On the one hand, articulating Torah thoughts is really the way to go when we discuss what type of Torah is going to require a Birchas HaTorah in the morning. So certainly speech of Torah is going to require, but there is this further question, what about thinking Torah, where I don't say it, I don't articulate it. And we do have a pasuk in the beginning of Yehoshua, v'hagisa bo yomam v'loila, that we should contemplate Torah day and night, that also is part of the mitzvah, and indeed we say it in Birchas Kriyashma, uvahem nehege, we will contemplate, that's thinking Torah. So just as a touch point over here, that thinking and speaking are a matter of distinct discussion, whether they are the same, whether they overlap, whether they're totally different, will one work in the place of the other? Again, over here, Beis Shammai hold that even thinking, which Tosfos says means speaking, to steal the item, is already considered stolen. And the guardian becomes liable entirely because he's stolen it. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Four lines up, the end of the line. Hito es hachaves v'nata leimenu revius. If a person bent the barrel in order to take out a portion of wine, v'nishbara, and then later it broke, ena mishalem el revius, he's only liable for the portion of wine that he stole, because the rest of it remained in the ownership of the original owner, and however it broke. But if he's not liable because it wasn't negligence, then he'll only pay for the portion that he took. There was no kinyan here. Higbio, however, if he lifted it, v'nata lemena revius, and then he took the revius from it, v'nishbara, and then it broke, mishalem demekula, he would pay the entire barrel worth, because once he lifted it, even though he only took one portion, he's considered liable on the entire barrel. Let's move on to today's daf, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, counting down from the top, about 13 lines, in the middle of a line with the two dots, Hita es hachavis, the Mishnah made a distinction between bending the barrel or lifting the barrel. In the case of bending the barrel, you're only liable for the amount that actually was stolen. Amar Rabba says, Lo shanu, that rule will not apply elo nishbara. If it broke, that's when that rule will apply. Avalech mitza, but if the wine went bad, mishalem is kula, you have to pay the entire amount. My taima, why? He didn't steal the entire amount. But gire didehu de ahanula, it's his arrow, his action, that assisted in the spoiling process. The Mefarshim explain that the barrel, while it's airtight, will preserve. And once he pulled out some of the wine, he let in air, and that's what caused the barrel to spoil. This is the concept that we have of canning or of vacuum packing, where you get out all the air and preserves the item better. I'm told they even have a system of corks for someone who doesn't finish an expensive wine, so they could actually pump out the air to preserve it better, so that the cork is holding an airtight bottle of wine. So what happened over here is that even though he didn't make a kinyan on the entire barrel, but he did something, and therefore not as a gazlan, a thief, but rather as a mazik, a person who did damage, he'll be liable for the spoilage of the entire barrel. One more piece. If he lifted it, then he's liable. Shmuel said, "Lo natal natal mamish." Even if he didn't take it, he didn't actually pour off the wine yet. Kevon shegbia litol afal pishala natal. Simply by lifting it, intending to pour off, he's already liable. And the explanation here is because even though he's taking only one portion, but he becomes a shoel, a borrower, on the entire barrel, because he knows that the entire barrel will preserve that portion of wine that he does want to take better. It shouldn't spoil on him. And therefore, he kind of borrows the rest of the barrel in order to preserve the one cup which he's taking, which he intends to take. Once he lifts it up, even though he doesn't actually take his portion until later, but he's a thief on the portion he wants to take, and he's a borrower on the rest, because that's what he wants, to preserve the entire, to preserve the portion that he is taking. Rav Ashi poses an interesting question. He says, what about if a person lifted a wallet, a purse that was entrusted to him, in order to take one coin? Do we also say that the one coin can get lost, but when it's with the wallet, so it gets preserved, and he wants to keep it together with the wallet to preserve his coin as well? Or it's two independent things. And what essentially seems to be happening here is Rav Ashi is asking if it's merely a human condition that causes the item he's stealing to be preserved better by the other items. You could watch one coin just as well as you could watch the entire wallet, but people don't. They watch a wallet better. Just because it's a human condition, does that make them linked? Or is it only by the wine where there's a physical situation that causes the amount he's stealing to be better preserved by the presence of the rest of the item? And the Gemara concludes, Teiku, to let Rav Ashi's question stand. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.